Most people think branding is a 20th century invention, something that arrived with Madison Avenue, television advertising, and the first corporate identity consultants. Something new, something modern, something that needed to be invented after the Industrial Revolution made products interchangeable and companies needed a way to stand out. Most people are off by about 5,900 years. Branding is not a marketing discipline, it is a human behavior. The need to signal identity, establish trust, claim ownership, and communicate quality through a recognizable mark is as old as civilization itself. Every principle that drives branding today, differentiation, consistency, emotional resonance, the transfer of meaning from a symbol to a product, was already understood and practiced by people who had no word for any of it. They were not building brands. They were doing something more instinctive than that. They were telling the world who they were. 4000 BCE, Mesopotamia, the first marks. The oldest known branding artifacts are cylinder seals from Mesopotamia, dating to around 4000 BCE. These were small cylindrical objects carved from stone, rolled across wet clay to leave an impression, a unique mark that identified the owner of goods, authenticated transactions, and established accountability in trade. Merchants used them, rulers used them, temples used them. Not decorative, the seal was a promise. It said, "This came from me, and I stand behind it." The Egyptian pyramids contain masons' marks dating back 6,000 years, engraved by stonecutters on the bricks they produced to distinguish their work from other craftsmen and guarantee fair payment. These were not signatures in the artistic sense. They were quality marks, source marks, the earliest documented form of what we would now call brand attribution. The brick means something because of who made it, and the mark proves who made it. What the Mesopotamians understood before anyone articulated it is the same thing every brand strategist charges thousands of dollars to explain today. A mark means nothing on its own. Everything changes when the mark is consistently associated with a quality, a source, or a promise that the person receiving it has learned to trust. The mark is not the brand. The trust accumulated around the mark is the brand. They knew this in 4000 BCE. They just did not have a strategy deck to put it in. 2000 BCE, the Bronze Age, symbols as survival. Before going any further, the word itself deserves a moment. Brand comes from the Old Norse word brander, meaning to burn. The practice of burning a mark into cattle hide to establish ownership is not a metaphor for modern branding. It is the literal origin of the term. Ranchers in the ancient world, and continuing through the American West thousands of years later, burned unique marks into their livestock so that every person who saw that animal knew exactly where it came from and who stood behind it. Ownership, source, accountability, all communicated in a single burned mark. That is the etymology of every brand strategy conversation happening in 2026. The word has not drifted from its origin. It has just been applied to things that do not have hides. As civilization expanded and trade routes stretched further from their origins, the problem of trust at a distance became urgent. When a merchant in Greece was buying wine from a producer in what is now Turkey, he could not personally know the producer. He could not inspect the vineyard. He could not taste the previous year's batch. He could only read the mark on the amphora and decide whether that mark meant something worth trusting. In the Bronze Age, people burned symbols into livestock and property to mark ownership. Visual branding was vital in ancient societies where most people were illiterate. Symbols became tools for identification, trust, and survival. That last word is the one that matters, survival. These were not aesthetic choices. They were not expressions of personality. They were functional communication systems in a world where the alternative to a recognizable mark was fraud, poisoning, or financial ruin. The mark existed because the stakes were that high. Wine amphorae from ancient Greece and Rome carried stamps identifying the producing region, the estate, and the vintage. Roman merchants painted their shop signs with pictorial symbols because most of their customers could not read. The symbols had to carry the entire message. The fish meant the fishmonger. The boot meant the cobbler. None of it was decoration. All of it was brand. The church, the most sophisticated brand system ever built. If you read, "Your logo is not your brand, please, I'm begging you." Earlier in this series, some of this will feel familiar. It belongs here too, because the full history of branding cannot be told without it. Nothing in the history of human identity construction compares to what the Catholic Church built over 15 centuries. Before there was a theory of branding, before there was advertising, before there was a word for any of it, the Church was running the most sophisticated and most durable brand system in human history. Consider what it built. A single symbol, the cross, communicated an entire cosmology, a moral framework, a community membership, a promise of salvation, and a claim of institutional authority, all in one mark that required no literacy, no language, and no explanation. The cross worked the same way in Rome in 300 CE as it worked in Ireland in 700 CE, and in the Americas in 1500 CE. That is brand consistency across 15 centuries and every known geography. No multinational corporation has ever achieved anything close to it. The fish symbol, the ichthys, predates even the cross as a Christian identifier. Early persecuted Christians used it to identify themselves to other believers, a symbol that could be quickly sketched in the dirt and just as quickly erased. The Greek word for fish, ichthys, formed an acronym, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Every letter carried meaning. The symbol encoded the entire value proposition of the faith in a mark that took 2 seconds to draw. That is not iconography. That is a logo, brief, executed perfectly 2,000 years before anyone used those words. The halo was a visual language system that communicated hierarchy, sanctity, and authority without a single word. Gold meant divine. The size of the halo indicated the importance of the figure. The positioning of figures in religious paintings communicated relationships and power structures to viewers who could not read the texts those images illustrated. The church was doing information architecture before anyone called it that. It was using visual design to communicate complex hierarchical systems of meaning to a mass audience, exactly what brand identity does today. The Gothic cathedral was not just architecture, it was a total brand environment. Stained glass told stories, gargoyles established tone, scale communicated power, the orientation, the light, the acoustics, all of it designed to create a specific emotional and psychological experience in the person inside it. That is experiential branding, built in stone in the 12th century. Medieval guilds, the first brand standards. Craft guilds in Europe required artisans to mark their products with unique symbols, guaranteeing quality and authenticity. This practice not only protected consumers, but helped craftsmen build reputations based on their distinctive marks. The guild mark was not optional. If you were a blacksmith, a baker, or a tailor operating under a guild, you marked your work. The guild maintained the standard. Misuse of the mark, putting it on inferior goods, had consequences, legal consequences, because the mark was not the artisan's personal property. It was a trust mechanism for the entire guild, and diluting it damaged every member. This is the oldest documented brand governance system in history. Quality standards, mark usage rules, and consequences for misuse. The medieval guild was running a brand standards document in the 13th century. Most modern companies still do not have one. Watermarks emerged in the same period as a way for papermakers and printing houses to identify their products, not to decorate them, to authenticate them. What the watermark said was simple. This paper came from this mill, which has this reputation, and if the paper is good, you know where to find more of it. If it is bad, you know who to hold accountable. Every transactional function of modern branding, present and operational, in medieval European commerce. The Renaissance, personal branding before it had a name. During the Renaissance, artists like Michelangelo introduced a new type of personal branding. They began signing their names to their work instead of using symbols. This seems obvious now. Of course, artists sign their work. But the decision to put your name on a painting instead of a mark was a strategic one. It said, "The work is inseparable from the person who made it. The reputation travels with the signature. The signature is not proof of ownership. It is proof of authorship." And authorship in the Renaissance carried specific meaning, a specific aesthetic, a specific technical standard, a specific set of associations that a buyer was purchasing as much as they were purchasing the physical object. Michelangelo, Leonardo, Raphael, these were not just skilled craftsmen, they were brands. Each occupied a specific position in the consciousness of their patrons and their peers. Each was known for something specific that no other artist was. Each was irreplaceable in a specific way. The Renaissance art market ran on brand differentiation and personal positioning 500 years before anyone used either term. The Industrial Revolution, when branding got its name. By the 19th century, industrialization created a problem no previous era had faced. Goods were now being produced in quantities that made personal knowledge of the producer impossible. A family buying soap in Manchester in 1880 could not know the person who made it. The old trust mechanisms, the guild mark, the personal reputation, the regional origin, broke down at industrial scale. Something new had to emerge. What emerged was the modern brand. Pear soap, established in 1807, became the first product to use national advertising and to invest in creating a distinct personality around a commodity. Coca-Cola registered its script logo in 1893. Quaker Oats put a face on a box of oatmeal to personify the values of the product and differentiate it from every other oatmeal in an identical container. These were not new ideas, they were ancient ideas adapted to a new scale. The Quaker on the oatmeal box was doing the same thing the Guildmark was doing in the 13th century, and the cylinder seal was doing in 4000 BCE, transferring trust from a known source to an unknown product through a recognizable mark. The only thing the Industrial Revolution invented was the word for it. What 6000 years is telling you? Every era of human commerce has independently arrived at the same conclusion. People trust what they recognize. Recognition is built through consistent marks, consistent quality, and consistent behavior over time. At the beginning, the mark means nothing. After enough consistent experiences accumulate around it, the mark means everything. That has been true in Mesopotamia. It was true in the Roman Forum. It was true in the Gothic Cathedral. It is true on your website. Brands that fail treat this as a modern marketing problem with a modern marketing solution. They chase tactics. They redesign logos. They rebrand without repositioning. They optimize channels while neglecting the underlying question that every successful mark in 6,000 years of human commerce has had to answer. What specific promise does this mark carry, and how consistently is that promise kept? Oldest brands are not the ones with the biggest budgets or the most sophisticated campaigns. They are the ones that found a specific idea, attached it consistently to a mark, and never stopped keeping the promise the mark made. The Catholic Church has been doing this for 2,000 years. Wedgwood has been doing it since 1759. Levi Strauss has been doing it since 1853. The principle has not changed once. You are 6,000 years late to this game. The question is whether you are going to play it properly now that you have arrived. From yours truly, Josh Pears, thanks for listening. Find more about me at joshpears.com.